Please don't feed me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me, that's all part of your soul. It makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Starting now.
Hold
so, are you still making cookies?
I am making cookies. Hold on a second.
Oh my god. She's off making cookies. So, this is episode 4, and we decided to talk about an episode about the whole Pokemon Go craze and, like, effects on the library and stuff like that. Now that Mar's back from making cookies.
Way to make me seem unprofessional and not prepared, Brian. Thank you.
Well, you're not prepared, are you?
When has that ever stopped me?
Okay, for people who don't know, what is Pokemon Go besides something that's making people
amazing,
act crazy?
Amazing is what it is.
Okay, whatever.
Pokemon Go is a location-based game. It is modeled off of Inverse. Which is, it utilizes your GPS to create an augmented reality of the location that you're in, and you get points for, like, going to certain places. In Pokemon Go, you get extra goodies if you go to a PokeSpot, which, like, a lot of libraries, including my library, is a PokeSpot. You can get extra Pokeballs and eggs and elixir to revive your Pokemon. Or some of them are gyms where you can go and fight. Yes, it's time to fight Pokemon.
The violence.
The violence. But it's basically a geolocation game. It's in the vein of geocaching and Munzee and Inverse and all of those other games that I play and use up my data plan.
Yeah, you do use up your data plan. I use up my data plan too, but it's just because I forget to turn it on half the time, and I wonder why it's streaming so slow.
Yeah.
So what do you think about it? You like it?
I love it. It's super cute. I have to admit, I was not hugely into Pokemon before, but it's something that my kids and my teens are super into. So I try and stay, like, you know, like, one ear to it. And Pokemon Go was coming out, and I was like, I need to be about this because, you know. Once the server finally started to work, because over the weekend the server was not working very well, but today the server kind of worked well, and I had so many kids in my library today being all like, OMG Pokemon.
I didn't even know anything about it. Like, I usually at least hear, like, gaming stuff from people I know that game a lot, but it was all of a sudden, just like at day, it's all of a sudden, like, everybody's Pokemon going or whatever. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, and, like, now it's like, the big news story because, you know,
I
other stuff doesn't matter, but Pokemon Go matters.
I hadn't known it was coming for long, but maybe like a week or two ago, another librarian alerted us that it was launching soon.
I bet you Nintendo's happy because they finally have games that people like. Because nobody likes Nintendo games anymore.
People like the Nintendo games, they just don't like the Wii.
Well, that's where they put everything that was on the Wii, basically.
I'm not really a huge video game person. I'm a micro game person, I guess. Like, I really like phone games, but I don't play a lot of console games. My favorite, honest to God, my favorite console game is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Because you're twitchy, I
I love Sonic. And the Lego games. I like the Lego games a lot.
The Lego games are super hard, though.
They're so hard. But, yeah, our library is a PokeSpot, so I had lots of people coming in, and several of my teens very animatedly today were like, oh my god, Pokemon, are you playing? What team are you on? Go Team Valor. Woot. Woot, woot.
Yeah.
And then we have, over our summer, we do a teen program every Tuesday night at our library, and tomorrow we were scheduled to talk about making your own board games. But we decided, we had a little meeting this morning with some of the teens that were already in there. So probably tomorrow everything's just going to devolve into, like, a discussion of Pokemon Go and everyone showing off what they found.
Do you think this game's going to have a big burnout? Because, like, it seems like some of the, like, not counting, like, the whole, like, data collecting information things, like, make sure your settings are right because this game can, like, actually access
your email. Yeah, apparently it is, like, accessing people's full Google accounts, so check your Google authorization settings. Luckily, it didn't do it on mine. I think it's an iPhone issue. Like, I think it's on the iOS stuff.
But it, like, besides that, which is, like, a problem with all the free stuff on the internet, Facebook and everything, but, like all these issues that a lot of people, like, I've always predicted, like, with geocaching, but it wasn't big enough, is happening with this game, like, where you got people trespassing.
Oh, I mean, that happens a lot with I love geocaching, but there are some times when I see something on the map and I'm like, nope, big bag of nope, because people will literally go and put them in the woods and claim it's not private property, but it's clearly somebody's property. And some of them get kind of upset. Like, 99% of the people are really super nice about it, but I've dealt with, like, some really nasty geocachers myself. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people are surprised when they meet me and they learn that I'm a girl, because I don't have an avatar or anything like that on my profiles, because I've dealt with some creepy people, too. That's one of the things, too, is, like, you really have to
say,
be careful.
I'm the avatar, deal with it.
I am the avatar, deal with it. Oh, I love Korra. I love Korra, okay? Korra saw me for the win! Yay! But no, you do have that privacy concern with allowing Google to, you know, authorize your account for stuff. But also, there are real-world safety issues with Pokemon Go. And one of the things I get concerned about is because I deal with kids. And I got off work today and I put my stuff in my car. I go outside to play Pokemon Go. And I ran into, like, 15 different kids playing Pokemon Go. And only one of those groups had an adult with them. Yeah, and some of these were really little kids.
I think kids and young people are usually safer about these things, even though they get the bad rap when bad things happen. Like, kids aren't the ones that walk around with phones falling in manholes.
Yeah,
like, that's like adults that do that.
Yeah,
shit.
So, I feel like that's more like grown-ups doing
that. I don't think
that.
The kid's going to be like, I'm going to go down this dark alley
but
playing Pokemon.
But I do worry, though, that, you know, they are out and about, and this game has been taking people further and further away from home as they're exploring more and trying to, like, track down Pokemon. So it's just one of those things, like, if you play any of these geolocation games, you should probably have somebody with you or at least let people know where you're going. And there have been instances of people not paying attention to where they're going, and they have been robbed, apparently. People go out at, like, 3 in the morning
for
Pokemon.
Well, the story
I
heard was, like,
know.
Somebody was... How was they doing this? Because I don't understand the game.
I think what
somebody
was happening
luring
was...
People into
I think
Pokemon.
Basically, like, they used the game, and they found a spot, like, a gym or something like that, and they knew that people would be coming. In the game, you can set lures that will attract Pokemon, and I think that they were setting those off, attracting tons of Pokemon, and just waiting for the nerds to show up and be like, give me your money. So that's one of those things, is you do have to watch out for people preying on you. I mean, I'll say it personally, as, like, I go geocaching, I go munzeeing, sometimes I go alone, and I have had really bad interactions with some people. I've had very creepy men coming up to me and commenting on my clothing, you know, the whole, oh, nice shirt thing. Well, that doesn't really mean nice shirt. It means nice tits and stuff, you know, and I've had people scream things at me from cars. And...
Well, it's an example of, like, basic, you can't do basic little fun things, hardly, like, if you're a woman or a person of color, because, like, I mean, I've made that comment for years about geocaching. It's like, you know, about how, like, a friend of mine told me a long time ago, she's like, if you're black and you try to geocache, you'll end up in jail. And like,
mostly, I will tell you, like, we have a very active geocaching community around here. I've not really seen a lot of minorities doing it.
Yeah. And it's I think it's because it is a
double standard.
And I read a thing on Twitter, I think it was earlier today, where somebody was talking about they were out with their kids actually looking for Pokemon stuff, and they got pulled over for being out in the middle of the night in a neighborhood that wasn't their own. And it was a black family.
Well, there was a lady in South Florida that had moved to a nice neighborhood, and she was walking her dog earlier this week, and she was African American.
Oh, I see.
And
that.
A woman ran out of her house screaming at her, like, incoherently. There's a video of it, you know, because that's all you can do is, like, record it in case it comes back to you, you know.
But it's one of those
things. And
like,
this older white woman was screaming racist shit at her because how dare you be in our neighborhood? And it's like, she's your fucking neighbor.
But people don't think about that. People who don't think it, like, racism and sexism is, like, ingrained in every part of our society. This is just a game, a simple little game that people can't, that have to be really careful to play if you're a minority or a female, like, to do it, because women have to be so, like, cautious about doing stuff like this by themselves and stuff and how they do it, and then you got that, like, it's even like the cosplaying guy that was killed over the sword, wasn't
it cops
that shot him?
Yeah, they shot him.
Because, like, and it's like, really? But it's like one of those things, like, I find it interesting, like, in a sociological, or however you would say it, setting that even games and stuff is, like...
Well, and you do run into, like, honestly, I will say, some of the game players don't make it easy on the other ones that, you know, have to overcome these other obstacles that, you know, like, I have the privilege of, you know, most of the time people don't bother me when I go places, except for, like, sometimes I'll get creepy men that say things to me. Or I've had, mistakenly, people have thought I'm much younger than I am. And they thought I'm a kid up to no good. But most of the time, people don't give me problems. I also tend not to do things like if a geocache or something is on electrical equipment, which is a huge, like, I don't understand why people do that. Or if it's in kind of a suspicious area, I just won't even go for it. That's kind of the boundary I set for myself. But there are some people that go over it. I have a friend who he and his wife were doing lawn work in their yard over the weekend, and some guy that was about our age, you know, we're 28 to 30, like, this guy's a couple years younger than me, but he was talking about how a guy hopped the fence to get a Pokemon in his backyard, and my friend was saying, you know, oh, what are you doing in my yard? And the guy's like, oh, I'm trying to get a Pokemon, can I get it, you know? And my friend was like, haha, no, get off my property. So this is the sort of thing that some people feel like they're entitled, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna hop over somebody's fence to get a fucking Pikachu.
But I think that goes back to, like, a privilege thing, because I've always said, like, the people who in geocaching,
I gotta check my cookies, hold on.
Yeah, you gotta check your cookies. But I think the people who do geocaching and put stuff on, like, on electrical stuff, or put stuff near schools, or put stuff, like, in a lot of places you shouldn't do, that's a white person doing that because they have no fear that they're going to get fussed at for that. They have no fear that they're going to get in trouble for that because they don't get harassed for just walking somewhere or something like that with their camera or anything.
Yeah.
So, like,
and that's another thing, too, is that I'm a little worried about some of the... For most of the geolocation games, there are rules that prohibit you from placing the items on... areas that would cause a public panic. For instance, you are not allowed to place them on military installations. There are also other groups that ban things like that. Like, the National Park Service does not allow you to put geocaches in because a lot of people end up disturbing the place.
But
there are people that have been placing Munzees, which Munzees are little QR code stickers. That's a game. They've been placing them on signs directly outside of schools. And that's attracting people that are holding up their phones and looking like they're taking pictures of, say, the playground. And that's kind of what's happening with the Pokemon stuff, too.
But isn't the Pokemon even the more problem? Because, like, geocaching and, like, Munzeeing, you have to physically do something or something like that. These things are just randomly being thrown in the areas, ain't they?
They're kind of randomly generated based, I think, around the locations of spots and gyms, which come from the inverse map, apparently. But also, I think it has to do with population, is what I'm being told, is that if you're in a really densely populated area, you're going to get some of the more common Pokemon. And then if you go out to, like, if you go toward the water, you're going to get water Pokemon and stuff like that. But they are sort of randomly generated, so there could be, like, a Pikachu in the middle of the school playground at the elementary school. You should not be a dumb asshole and go and get that Pokemon. Like, let it go.
It's like, the first thing I've seen the image of one of these, and I think one of the biggest appeals, we talked about this in the car when we were getting, like, Starbucks and Marvel's.
And I was getting Pokemon because the line was huge.
but we were talking about this earlier, about people, like, getting these in certain places, and it's just, like crazy. And you're going to have somebody, like, the first time I ever seen it was, like, on TV, I mean, not on TV, online. It was a picture of somebody capturing one in a bathroom somewhere.
Yeah,
and
I've
like,
seen that one.
And I know that's one of the big appeals that I was trying to think of earlier. One of the big appeals is, like, you're able to take these pictures, they're almost alive, of stuff, places. But imagine somebody in a bathroom. Like, people don't even want people going to piss in a bathroom because they're acting like it's such a big deal who's pissing in the bathroom with them. But now somebody's going to be in a camera in a stall.
You are in full rant mode.
Basically taking a picture, and somebody's going to leave that fucking click on, and all of a sudden you're sitting there taking a shit or something like that, and there's going to be a click. And somebody's going to think they're fucking taking a picture of you. It's going to cause that problem.
I think that that's one of those things is like, yeah, this is a totally fun game and everything, but I think players need to be totally mindful of being respectful to non-players. Don't go to the park and capture Pokemon and look like you're taking photos of small children. You look weird. Especially if you're like me and you're a 30-year-old and you're playing Pokemon, you know. And don't do these things. Like, don't follow people into bathrooms or jump over somebody's fence to go into their backyard. I've seen several police departments have had to post on their social media sites, like, because their Poke Spots are gyms, and they're having to tell people, look, you don't need to come inside. You can do it from the parking lot. Like, please don't come in the building.
Yeah.
But
there's no way of putting, like, for them, because the game's so wide open with where they are and stuff,
mm-hmm.
there's no way for them to actually, like, do anything to, like, regulate it or anything if there starts to be issues. There's nothing
yeah,
they
it's
can
not
do.
Like geocaching in Munzee where there's a physical item, and if a place doesn't want you to do it, like, I was Munzeeing at a Target. Munzees are little stickers that if you see a QR code sticker stuck to the back of a stop sign or a light post, it's a game.
You mean it's not for inspection?
It's not for inspection. but, yeah, they have camouflage that say things like for inspection.
Wonder if
but,
the company that runs it, like, if they can delete them from certain locations or, like, block them.
I think that you could, well, yeah, actually, they can. They can do it because they've done it. The Munzee, at least, they have official gardens where you can make, like, a digital artwork with the different kinds of Munzees. And they have blocked you from putting out other ones that would disrupt their
image.
It's possible to do it.
I'm just wondering if these end up in certain places, like, where people start reporting, say, like, oh, you can't have these here because we don't need people going within the distance of here, or they're going to have to
yeah.
start deleting them in certain places.
Apparently, from what I've seen thus far, like, with the Inverse World, the sites that go into the map are user-generated, like, users suggest them, and they often suggest public places. Like, pretty much every library ever is a Pokemon spot. But I feel like at a certain point you are going to have a kickback where, like, the official management of those places may try to contact Inverse and Pokemon and say, like, no, we don't want to have this. Because it depends on the behavior of the players.
But this is like Google. You know, the company that says don't do evil is their motto, but they do plenty of evil, like steal from creators and stuff like that. But I won't go on that rant right now.
I mean,
but they're
yeah,
like,
yeah, we can
Google,
go and scan an entire library's worth of books.
But like, Google does Google Maps, and that's basically like, that's everything. It takes pictures of everything.
Yeah.
Like, it, but like, and that's why
I love
I'm thinking
it when
about
people
that.
Put dicks on their roofs.
Yeah,
I just had to say it.
But I'm saying, like, I don't see Google, if they're making a lot of money on this, because Google's, like, connected to it, and Nintendo's
yeah.
connected to it, they're not going to make any changes.
I doubt it. I mean, I can't even get Google to update our library's open hours because they have our hours listed wrong. Like, if you Google my library's name, it'll say, like, oh, they're open from 12 to 8 on Monday nights. We're open from 9 to 8. I've contacted Google several times to update that listing, and they don't give a shit. They're like, fuck you. You're not going to get a response from them.
Yeah, I just think, I'm waiting for the first lawsuit. The first lawsuit to happen about it, like, somebody sue somebody about it, because it'll happen.
Yeah.
You know it will. Because, like, people want to compare it to Muncie and geocaching, but geocaching and Muncie is so small time compared to this.
Like, relatively, those are small. I mean, in the 16 years that geocaching's been around since the GPS system was made available to the public, because it's only been available since 2000. It was, you know, military only, like, government only. And Muncie came along. Muncie's about 5 years old now. The proportion of people that play those games, it's still relatively underground. Like, you see geocaching come up in a lot of things, like, oh, fun things to do with your kids over the summer and stuff like that. And a lot of places have official geocaches now. Like, our state park service has an official geocache tour. So, some of the parks actually have ones that they maintain. But the Pokemon thing is a completely user-generated thing, and Munzee's a fairly user-generated thing, too. And if the behavior of people gets out of hand, then places are going to clamp down on it. Our state parks outlawed, and I don't think it's been updated, I haven't heard anything, our state parks outlawed Munzee's because people put Munzee stickers on the windowsills of cabins at one of the parks. And people are staying in these cabins, and then creeps are coming up and taking, looks like they're taking photos, but they're scanning a Munzee sticker.
I'm just surprised somebody didn't get shot down here doing that.
And, you know, that's one of my concerns, too, is that down here we've had instances of people who have been lost knock on a door to get directions, and the homeowner opens fire on them. So that's a very real concern to me.
But
you know, is that the next Trayvon Martin is going to happen down here? And it's not going to be a bag of Skittles and an iced tea. It's going to be a kid playing Pokemon. Like, that's a real fear for me.
I just think it has to be a certain kind of kid, but whatever.
Well, obviously, like, that's the way the system is down here, is that disproportionately you're going to see kids of different ethnic backgrounds being targeted by people that don't like the way they look and don't like the fact that they're hanging around.
But I think the difference between, again, the difference between the Pokemon Go and, like, geocaching and stuff like that, is the people
sheer had volume, yeah.
Yeah,
the
people had
volume
to put the stuff out, so it slowly grew. With this, it was basically like,
it was overnight.
Yeah, overnight you got
yeah.
these thousands or whatever of these things that just all of a sudden appeared, and it's causing this, like, rush almost
yeah.
to do it.
I mean, I'll tell you, like, I had several kids come in and talk to me about it personally, like, today, because they figured I would be playing it, too. Because I'm such a nerd. But then when I was leaving work, my library is situated right next to a park, and I wandered around the park, and I must have ran into 15 or 20 people. Like, a couple of guys rolled up in their car to get the Poke Spot that was right there. There were kids walking around the soccer field get it. And I swear to God, they all told me there was a fucking Pikachu, and I could not get this fucking thing. But whatever.
What's your language?
And then on my way home, I stopped at another library that that's on my way home. I stopped at that library that has a park, and it has, like, six different Pokespots in it. And there were, like, another dozen people playing Pokemon in the park. So and I'll tell you, in my time geocaching out in the world doing it, I've only run into a handful of people in the, like, how long have I been doing it?
I don't know.
Like, 8 years that I've been
geocaching. I just take a book along and sit in the car, usually, and read. It's a lot of stuff to talk about when you talk about stuff
well,
like that.
Well, away from the problems of it, I think it's really cool. Like, my kids were super enthusiastic about it today. Like, I had a girl that was like, yes, we need to do Pokemon tomorrow. And then we went and conquered the gym that was at the dog park, because we're both Team Valor, and, like, we conquered it. And then we lost it later in the day, but that's a thing.
Is Team Rocket in this game anywhere? Because they were the
no.
best thing about Pokemon anyway.
That
and the band episode where the guy pulls the gun on them and gets ready to shoot him.
But, like, the enthusiasm...
Really cool.
No, they're not it. The enthusiasm is really good. And I've been able to market my library with it because I've been putting it all over social media that the library is a PokeSpot, so come and, you know,
and once it's a PokeSpot, and I think I talked to you about this yesterday, trying to understand it. Once it's a PokeSpot, it means they're going to appear there, even after people capture them. Is that true?
The PokeSpot, I can't really tell if the PokeSpot actually, like, attracts more Pokemon, but when you go to a PokeSpot, you can do this several times an hour.
Oh, is that where you get the balls?
But
the
you get, spot? Like, you can refill your stock of Pokeballs. Like, throughout the course of the day, I collected, like, 100 of them from my work.
Okay, so, like, where you're at right now, like, the library, that's a place where you can get the
balls.
Yeah,
you can get, like, basically, it's, like, supplies. Like, you can re-up your supplies there.
So you could just, like, if you want to use this to get interested, let's say, in the books or the DVDs,
oh, I have a display.
Yeah, you get... That's a display you could put out and keep out as long as this game's going,
basically,
right?
For in my world, like, nerd stuff is it's basically permanent displays. The prominent stuff in my section is we have a permanent Star Wars section. We have a permanent Harry Potter section. We have a permanent Percy Jackson, permanent Pokemon, and permanent Lego.
Don't you have a permanent Doctor Who section?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I have a permanent Doctor Who section,
because Doctor Who's the greatest ever.
And then we have, like, three different permanent graphic novels because we have kid, adult, and teen.
I didn't know Pokemon was still, like, I understand.
It's a thing.
I knew it's a thing because it's, like, got, like, 12 movies or something like that. And I know how big it is, but I didn't know it was still a big thing here. Like, I didn't know, like, people were still, like, into Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. It's never gone away with my kids. Like, I never was into it as a kid myself. I was into other stuff.
Are they into all of it, or is it just the game?
Depending on their age level, I have a lot of little kids that just like to watch the cartoon, and then I have a lot of older ones that love the manga, but they all really seem to love the guidebooks. They want to learn all about the different Pokemon, and, like,
I love a good guidebook.
Yeah, they love their, like, DK guidebooks, and the Scholastic ones and stuff. They really, really, and it's the same thing with Star Wars, too, is that they really love those guidebooks to Star Wars. So it just really depends on, like, the age group, but I have little kids all the way up through adults, because I had quite a few adults coming in today, too, to get the PokeSpot. I saw them. I don't think they were recognized.
I'm just seeing some of these librarians that are still, like, you know, in the past, and people come in and ask about it, or see, they're probably flipping out about this stuff, but I can just see it, though. I know some librarians that are like that still. That are, like,
there were a few, like, guffaws. Well, no, I guess, like, basically, when the announcement came out from this other librarian that sent it around to all of us, the people at my library were kind of like, oh, that's nice. And I could tell that they were like, oh, that's a Marlena thing. Because I'm well known for being the one that deals with the weird stuff. And they don't want to deal with it. I'm just going to flat out say it. But, you know, I'm the one that, you know, inexplicably, I'm like, let's have an escape room program, which was one of our best programs ever. We had, like, 17 teenagers coming to do an escape room.
Yeah, somebody should do it, like, an Easter egg hunt thing with, like, Pokemon or something. I'm sure.
Well, that's actually what we're going to do tomorrow is I'm going to set them loose in the library and, like, tell them to bring me photos of the Pokemon they capture.
Well, while I worked, they were doing it, too. One of the teachers were, like, leading kids with an iPad, and they were looking up down the halls trying to find them, which I thought was pretty cool.
I'm trying to figure out a way that I can make it distinctly a Pokemon Go program, but I really think, at this point, it's an independently played game. You can't play as a team. Like, in Munzee, we have clan battles, and there's 10 of us to a team, and we have to achieve a goal together. There isn't that function yet. It's a very basic functionality to Pokemon Go right now. Allegedly, they're going to let you battle and trade with people, I think.
Yeah, I heard that.
I think that's, like, a next phase of that game. So I'm just waiting to see. But right now, I'm just, like, using it to promote the fact that the library is a PokeSpot, so come on into the library. My teens are super excited about it, so we're going to kind of, like, modify tomorrow's program. I'm going to make cookies that look like Pokeballs tonight.
I'm going to eat cookies that look like Pokeballs.
You know, really highlight the books and materials that we have, because we have a ton of Pokemon stuff. And I need more. I need more manga, too.
Pokemon, like, I've seen episodes here and there, but it's kind of like Dragon Ball Z. It just seems like one of these really daunting properties to get into. Like, I think it's on, like, Hulu or Netflix one, and when it came on, I was like, oh, maybe I should start watching that, but I think it's, like, 400 episodes or something like that, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that deterred me for a long time, because there's so many different Pokemon series, too, and I can't make sense.
And like Dragon Ball Z, it's kind of repetitive to me, because it's like, you just go places, and then they have this character, and they think it's going to win, and then Pikachu wins at the end, basically. From the few episodes I've seen, it seemed very repetitive. But,
see, I've only seen a few episodes, too. My sister really liked watching Pokemon and Sailor Moon when she was, like, six. And and Totally Spies. But
I like Totally Spies. That's an unrated, underrated show, Totally Spies. It is. It's actually pretty cool. For like, it's one of those shows that it was good because they understood what they were trying to do and didn't try to be more than what it was. And it was really, I like Totally Spies.
See, I feel like I missed out on a lot of stuff when I was a kid because looking back, I feel like all the stuff I
liked. You were a little adult?
Yeah, I always watched like adult stuff. I watched The Simpsons and Melrose Place.
Well, that's kind of like me with books. Like, I never read kids' books, like, let's say middle grade or YA books or anything like that when I was a kid. I started out reading, like, adult books, and I read comics when I was young.
See, I never read comics when I was
young. But I never read, like, kids' books. Like, I never read, I read YA books before they, books that were YA before they were called YA. Like, I read The Outsiders in high school, and I read a couple of Julie Bloom books, but nobody called them YA books then. But I probably read my first YA book or, like, middle grade book, like, only probably 20 years ago or something like that. Like, hasn't been that long since.
What I think is interesting for me is that because I work with kids now, I almost exclusively only read kids and young adult materials. I joke with people that I don't read grown-up books. Like, seriously, the last adult book that I read was Ready Player One, and it was about video games.
Is that the Warren Hall Sanderson book? Is that the YA book?
That was a middle grade book. Yeah. I just read Ashes by Laurie Hall Sanderson.
I'm reading the first one of that series, Chains, and it actually doesn't read at all like a young person book at all. It reads like an adult book. Yeah. Like the vocabulary in it.
No, she's really talented.
I bet you the Lexile's pretty high in that book because
don't bring up Lexile. Do not do that. That is a topic for another podcast.
But I bet you it's pretty high in that book because like it doesn't like read like a middle grade book. I thought it was an adult book. I like it and stuff, but
yeah. I love her books. But I don't know, that's just kind of one of the things that I really like about my job is that and my teens expect it of me, too. They're like, they came in today to talk to me, and they're like, you're playing Pokemon Go, right? And it's like, you know, because of my job and the fact that I want to keep up with what they like, it, you know, I have a reason to play. It's like, yeah, I'm doing this for work. And I get to read comic books all the time and make, like, duct tape crafts and stuff.
Well, it's like,
and make Quidditch hoops.
When I decided to write a middle grade book, I'd never read that many of them, so I was, like, doing research, and the most middle grade books, and I didn't even know they were middle grade, was, like, tie-in books. Like, I loved the Alex Mack tie-in books, and I loved some other tie-in books, too, like more adult properties or, like, TV shows or stuff like that. So, like, I had to go back and read a bunch of them and stuff, mm-hmm. So, like, I thought that was, that's the thing about Chains when I was reading it. It doesn't read like any of those. So yeah. That's what
well, and that's the thing, too, is that even if an item is for children or for teenagers, it doesn't mean it's lesser quality. There are some very sophisticated children's and young adult programs and movies and books.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I was just curious about how they decided this book was going to be a middle grade book because, like, Chains, I think it's one of those things, like, you could just say this is an adult book and put it with the adult books and nobody would tell a difference between reading it and stuff like that. Where other middle grade books, because you said it was like middle grade book, right?
Yeah.
Like, other middle grade books, you can look at it as you're reading it and say, like, oh, I can tell this is a middle grade book from reading it and stuff. My books are like that. Like, you can tell that they're
Some of the things are just really sophisticated. But it's really good.
It's probably one of the most sophisticated middle grade books I've read. Yeah. Actually,
there are some very, very talented. And, you know, there are some talented authors that write for adults that have transitioned into writing for children. Rick Riordan, he writes heavily for adults, and now he writes pretty much exclusively for children.
I like Rick Riordan books. Like, I like Percy Jackson books.
Love Percy Jackson.
But reading those, you can tell they're middle grade books by reading them.
But, I mean, it takes a certain skill, though, to make it readable for children and young people and not overwhelming for them, but not to be condescending.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And, frankly, there are some adult authors, Jodi Picoult, who, that's right, I called her out on that. The things that she says about writing, she's like, I don't write books for teenagers. I write books for adults and teenagers can read them or some crap like that. Well, guess who's writing YA books now because it's popular? Yeah, Jodi Picoult.
She also tried to write a Wonder Woman book and found out writing comics wasn't as easy as she thought.
I'm sorry, like that Nicholas Sparks kind of crap that she writes, like, I don't. Also,
I wish I could write like Nicholas Sparks. I could have Nicholas Sparks money.
The books have readers, and I read books by both of them, and I can see why people like them. It's the same thing with Twilight. I don't personally like Twilight, but I read that book, and I saw immediately why people do like it. And the first one was actually a fairly decent read. The rest of them, I went downhill from there. But some of these authors, they kind of get an attitude because they write primarily for an adult audience, and then they transition into writing for younger people, and they think that they're going to somehow elevate children's literature, and it's like, go home.
Well, remember when YA first blew up, and they started taking books and basically changing the covers and saying they were YA and they weren't YA? That's why I've always thought it's kind of weird that when people put the stuff in those certain categories, and it's like, well, what did you judge to say this was in this category or not? Was it just because that's what I first thought when I was reading Chains, is like, are they only calling this a younger person's book because it has a younger person, like, as the lead in it?
That's part of it, too, is that there are some books that confuse that. We had a book that we featured for a joint, like a one book, one community, and I'm blanking on the name, but the rotation of the earth slows down and it causes the days to get longer. And it's told from the point of view of, it's actually not told from the point of view of the young girl. It's bookended by her older self, I think. Like, you know that it's the older self telling the story. And they tried to pass it off as a young person's book, and it wasn't. It was a mess of a book, first of all. I hated that book.
That's why The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. A lot of people hate that book, too. A lot of people put that in YA, though, and that's not a YA book.
I found that book flippant and disrespectful.
But isn't it an adult book? Isn't it even marketed as a YA or adult book?
It's marketed as a young adult book. It comes up on a lot of... My schools require it. I hate that
book. What's the other one?
I hate that book. Because basically the end of that story is like, oh, sometimes the wrong people end up in the...
Yeah, it was too bad that the Nazis kid died.
I hated that book. I threw that book when I was reading it.
I was thinking of Kite Runner.
Oh, I hate
Kite
that book.
Runner's the one where it has a younger kid as the lead character.
It's actually flashbacks, I think.
Yeah, but they put that in YA because of that, and that's definitely not a YA book.
That caused some problems at my
life. The only thing worse than I ever seen that is when people
put... The girl with the dragon tattoo.
People put that in YA
because
at some
library. Because it has a girl in it.
And I'm like, oh my god. I just thought that was funny.
Oh, there's a library near here that has the Game of Thrones books in their teen area because teens read it. And I'm like, no.
We found a library once that had Clockwork Orange
in it, yeah.
I'm like, how'd you put that in the teens area? I had a friend once. I talked about Clockwork Orange for years and stuff, and it's a great movie, I think, and a great study on, like, humans and what we'll do when it comes to crime and punishment. But she, for years, wanted that movie, wanted to watch it, and years she talked about it. I bought her that movie for Christmas one year and gave it to her, and she was like, I never want to watch that movie again. And I was like, I told you not. She bought her, like, the never-ending story as something that is, like, a makeup for that so it'd wash it out of her brain because I love the never-ending story, like, the first one. Because Clockwork Orange is a messed-up movie, and, like... Yeah. Like, it's one of those things, like, people...
Well, and that's one of the hallmarks of really good youth literature is they can push kids to those boundaries of dealing with those difficult topics.
That's why you also...
There's some sort of reprieve for them,
That's too. Why you need also very well-trained librarians who are educated and know how to put what in what area.
Yeah.
Just because it says girl in the title or it has a young person in the book doesn't mean it goes into that area. I mean, it's just so stupid sometimes when I see people do that and stuff. Like when
And also in. Some to take risks, too, because honestly, I will tell you that there are more middle grade aged books with gay and transgender characters coming out. I keep seeing them being placed in the teen area of libraries because of the content in them, even though they're written for 9 to 12 year olds. Things like George, that was a very popular book in the last year. The character is kind of coming to terms with an identity of being transgender. It's a middle grade book. I've read it. It's a middle grade book. It's not a teen book. But it keeps getting put into young adult areas when it should be in a juvenile fiction setting. But people bump items up an age group to try and, like, head off any sort of challenges to those items. It's a sort of self-preservation mechanism. But...
Or a little cowardice.
You know...
I
understand why people do that, because people lose their jobs over these
don't
things.
Don't buy the book, then.
Well, then
don't
that's also the censorship.
Yeah, but what's use of buying the book if you're going to do something like miscategorize, place it, or do like some places have done, to stick books behind the counters and stuff.
And
you might as well not have it.
That's also a problem. I think we veered like severely off of the topic of Pokemon.
Well, there ain't that much we can talk about, because I don't know crap about Pokemon. I just thought it'd be interesting looking at some of the stuff that's come up about it, because it's one of those things that's just blown up.
Yeah, it was basically, like, overnight.
And I find it interesting with all the shitstorm that the world's in right now with everything, that this is the huge topic right now.
I've actually seen a lot of people talking about that, too.
I think it's escapism in a way for people also with shit going on right now.
For those of us who can afford to escape.
Yeah. But I just found this like an interesting topic to talk about when it comes to like the world we're in right now, and like how it's a fun game, but a lot of people can't even take part in the fun because it's
I mean, definitely when I talk to my kids about, like, I did a presentation on geocaching, and one of the things was, do not, you know, make people think you're up to something bad. Do not act in a way that would draw suspicion to yourself. You know, don't go onto somebody's private property. Don't go out there in the middle of the night.
By the way.
Ooh, I don't have this Pokemon. Sorry. I'm playing it right now. And one just popped up.
By the way, if you want to see my reaction to her taking a picture of a Pokemon at my plate when we were eating a couple of nights ago.
Yes, I got
you
it.
You can go to my Twitter. It's at HangaWednesday. On Twitter, and like, you can see my face when she's like, there's one on your plate, and stuff like that.
But I think he's more just getting annoyed because, oh god, this is another game for her to play. Because I'm usually like, Brian, get up, there's a Dragon Monday.
Well, I tried to steer her to playing Rick and Morty, at least that's interesting.
I rage stuff. Quit Rick and Morty, honestly.
You need to keep
playing.
Because
I couldn't figure it out. And then I started playing the Gordon Ramsay game. And I kind of rage quit that this afternoon.
I just wish it actually cussed you. Like, it just does those, like, those squiggly thingies.
But it made me laugh because the push notifications were like, get the fuck back in the kitchen. And he's like, you fucked it up.
But you didn't actually say that.
I know, but still, it amused me, alright? Although the best thing ever, like, because I love swear words. Honestly, I love swear words. One of my favorite things ever was when South Park stopped censoring stuff on DVD. And it took me a couple episodes to figure out that I could actually hear the cuss words instead of just replacing it in my head. But that was like, oh, glorious day.
Yeah, I remember that. We were actually watching the DVDs and we got them in. And all of a sudden she's like, what? What?
It's like, they said shit!
Oh, wasn't it the curse word episode?
No, that's a different matter.
But wasn't that the one where we found out, like, in that one that, like, they didn't censor any of the episodes or whatever? It may be another DVD.
No,
set.
You know what? I think it was. I think it was that, like, we were watching it, and then they said shit or something, and I was like, wait a second, they can't say shit anymore. That's a cursed word. I think it was a few seasons after that, and then we realized they weren't censoring any of the swear words. Because South Park, like, for its, like, zaniness, it does actually have some continuous story plots. And they kept up the no cursing thing.
Is
like,
Kenny dead for sure now? I don't know. I'm like 20 episodes
behind. We're like
behind.
A season behind, I think, right now. Because I got into other stuff. Like, I got really obsessed with Rick and Morty. And then we binge-watched Gravity Falls. So, and also, I just watch Archer and Bob's Burgers ad nauseum.
She does. Ad nauseum.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about Pokemon Go because, like, my kids are excited about it, so.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that makes me happy.
And then you can get them the, get into the books, maybe if they want, or something similar.
There's a Meowth nearby. I need it.
I ain't going anywhere till I gotta work tomorrow.
I know.
I just wanted to talk about that some because I found it really interesting. I found it interesting also at the place I work, which is mainly older people. They just stared at the TV today blankly when people were talking about it. Even though these are people that sit and watch YouTube videos all day long without headphones on in the break room, and it drives me crazy, whatever.
Hey, what's that thing with people watching YouTube videos of other people playing Minecraft? I don't get it.
Other people playing video games, period?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know. I thought about doing that for a while, like having a thing where you could, like, watch people play video games, like, watch me play video games. But, like, you have to get this whole setup thing to do it and everything, and I was like, meh. I didn't want to really do it, but whatever.
That was off topic, sorry.
Everything's off topic. Not off topic, not to talk about, but we get off topic a lot. Tangents are galore here. But, the only thing I wanted to mention before I got off here was that all of July, Smashwords is doing a sale on books, and you can reduce your books to whatever you want to being free if you want to. And the first issue of my 10 Universe Middle Grade series, which is called 10 Universe Middle Grade series, which was a joke between me and a friend because he was like, how can you write a kid's book? Somebody's going to flip out if they read your other books thinking it's a kid's book. So I was like, I'll just call it 10 Universe Middle Grade Series so nobody will be mistaken that this is a kid's book and the other stuff is not kid's books. But whatever. I have everything in it.
Then people
shit themselves over everything. But this is going to be on sale. And the first issue is for free. The first book's for free this month. So if anybody wants to go to that, you can either go to my 10 Universe blog, which is 10universe.blogspot.com, which you can find links to everything on there. Or you can go to www.smashwords.com/books/view/390740, which I wish they would just use the titles for those, but they use numbers or whatever. But if you do that, you can download it. I'll try to put that in the details section for this episode if anybody wants to go and check it out. It's free all this month, the first book is, so if you want to check it out. Number 4 in the series is going to be coming out in July. I mean, not July. Why did I say July? Now it's July. It's going to come out in December. But
boy born at the end of July.
Whatever. Shut up. The next book's coming out in December. I hope to have my editor on here soon to do a podcast and we can talk about
that.
She's
going to love that.
She wants to be. But she can talk about it. She's like you, who's Miss I Don't Want to Be on Podcast, but when we get you on here, you won't shut up.
I like to hear the sound of my own voice.
Actually, you hate the sound of your own voice. You say it all the time. You just like to talk. But she's going to be on here on a future episode to talk about the whole process of editing and stuff like that. And the process of editing my stuff. And I also want to try to get some of the artists I've worked with on here to talk about stuff and help promote their artwork in the future. And maybe other people. One of my favorite podcasts recently, Stacey's Pop Cultural Parlor recently did a 24-hour marathon podcast.
I'm not doing a 24-hour
for charity. I don't want to do one with you. I can do one by myself and just talk for 24 hours. I bet you I could do it, too. Could just talk for 24 hours and not do anything. I don't know. Whatever. She just recently did that, and she's going to be posting the in installments for the different interviews she did. I mean, she had everybody, like, she had Kelly Sue DeConnick was on there, and Mac Eldred, and, like, a lot of really good people was on that. So, if you can check that out, her podcast, Stacy's Pop Culture Parlor, that's going to be coming out soon when she does that. But check out past episodes. It's a really funny podcast, and it's one of my favorites, and I want to try to mention one of my favorite podcasts at least once per episode on here to promote those, because that's the only reason why I wanted to do this, is not really as much to promote my own, my work, my writing and stuff, even though I'm going to use it for that too, but also because I really enjoy podcasts. And this is me ranting at the end of this, so I'm just going to end this anytime.
Rick and Morty Forever, www.rickandmortyforever.com. Tiny Rick.